Mark Vandermeer is in on a Friday. Okay. The NFL has their owners' meetings next week, and now all sorts of rules proposals are being exchanged. The NFL had 9 different proposals by different teams to change the review system. Mark, I know you have some strong feelings.
So conflicted about this because we all know that we want more plays. We want the ability to challenge more plays. You want more things reviewable, right? And some of you are out there saying, the human element! What about the human? Well, talk to the Saints about the human element. Now, part of me says, and I think the wise way to go is this, but I see the other side. The wise way to go is only challenge a play, a penalty that's called, right? If there's a flag, now you can challenge it, right? Pass interference, call to my guy, I'm going to challenge it. The problem with this is they're going to throw flags on everything because they're going to err on the side of throwing the flag because they know they can clean it up, that you can clean it up with a challenge. Just like now, they let you play through the whistle on virtually everything when it's a turnover because or a possible turnover because they feel like, well, the review will get it if we got it wrong because the turnovers are automatically reviewed. Doesn't even cost you a challenge. Same thing with a scoring play. When in doubt, call it a touchdown because the challenge or the review, rather, will save us as officials. But if you have this thing where you can only challenge a flagged play, they're going to throw flags on everything because they, or not on everything, but you get my drift here. Anything with doubt, they're going to be throwing that yellow marker and it's just going to be a flag fest.
I don't think it will be because the solution is, Mark, you just keep the same amount of challenges per game. I mean,
are you going to throw a challenge flag for every single penalty?
The refs will throw the flags because if there's a iffy play where they feel like, go ahead and throw the yellow flag because they can throw the red flag and challenge it and clean up my mistake as an official.
But the ref also has his own grade to worry about, too. That's the whole, because like you're thinking about
how worried are they? I guess they get moved up and down.
They get moved out. Like I always see this after bad calls. Like how come there's no accountability? Well, I mean, one guy got fired this year, and then every year guys either they lose, they get moved back down to just college, or they get moved off the NFL ranks. Other guys get elevated.
Tremendous amount of turnover in the last couple of years.
That's one of the problems. Yeah, there aren't a lot of old referees out there that know what the hell they're doing.
But when there are old ones, we criticize it. They're too old. That guy's old. He can't see. Hey, get your readers.
Speaking of old guys.
Of course, the guy's from New England who's criticizing the referee.
Am I just now realizing, how long has Gene Steratore been a rules expert on the NCAA tournament?
I think one or
two years. Was he last year? Official? Do you mean official?
Yeah, he was last year.
He was last year? Yeah. I didn't notice him last year for some reason. Or it didn't occur to me. It never struck me as strange that, why is Gene Steratore talking to me about basketball rules?
On basketball?
Yeah, on basketball.
Well, he was
there yesterday
basketball
on the broadcast.
Guy, right?
He was a ref for a long time in college.
I know, but
basketball.
Has he been on television?
Yeah, last year. For the NFL.
For basketball.
I don't know. But he was a basketball official, and he's got TV chops now, so it makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, I think this is his first year because he retired from football and I guess basketball officiating last year.
I saw him pop up yesterday during the Michigan State game. What the hell is Gene Steratore doing?
Hello,
on his
Gene.
Screen?
Yeah. Nice to see you again.
I had Reggie Miller do 2 games, and then I got to see Gene Steratore. Like, what's
I don't
the hell's
care.
Going
I want
on
Ed
here?
Hockley doing it, even though he's never done basketball. Yeah. I want Ed on the job.
My bottom line when it comes to this is, when it comes to the NFL rules, is something that Michael Lombardi, the former NFL personnel man, told us in January on the show about this, which is, if you look at the call that was missed in the NFC title game, Lombardi pointed out that, hey, this is something that would only happen at this level. It would only happen in the NFL. It wouldn't happen in high school. It wouldn't happen in college, because college they would have had targeting. In high school they have something else. And he felt it was unacceptable that the NFL is the only level of football where that call would have been missed.
Was
his perspective.
Why though? Why would it have only happened in the NFL?
Because in college they'd stop the game
for targeting.
Okay, well, they never miss a targeting call in college?
No. But they would have reviewed it, and then because there was that kind of contact, they would have been able to look at that.
In high school? Why would it have been different in high school?
I honestly don't remember. He hasn't watched any high school games.
If he's going to talk about missed calls in high school.
Lombardi's point, if I can say this, is that if there's no flag thrown, there's nothing we could do about it once the play's over.
Yeah, there's nothing that you can do. That there's literally nothing
so
that the officials can do.
Should there be something you can do after the play is over? Even the referee saying, hey, guys, I just, even during, so the play clock is running, and I just saw the replay on the video board. stop the game.
Is
that too much?
No, because this is one of the things the NBA actually gets right, is that they'll stop the game after a few possessions and be like, oh, you know what? That was actually a two-point shot.
I hate that.
I love it. I love it. I love it. You get to go back in time and correct the rights of previous wrongs or correct the wrongs.
I don't like that, though.
You
remember,
don't?
To me,
I
the
think
universe
it's
changes. It's like, no. You called it what it is.
Remember the Rockets picked up 4 points in a timeout against the Lakers like a month ago and lost?
And I love that it's never explained properly in the arena, too, so people are flipping out or
what
cheering.
What the hell is going on? All right, Mark Vandermeer in. Time now for Mad Takes on a Friday. I want to begin here with the controversy involving Michigan State head coach Tom Izzo, whose team beat Bradley yesterday in a 2-15 matchup. He was seen in a video that's gone viral going after one of his players, Aaron Henry. He had to be restrained by his players once or twice. Here was Tom Izzo explaining himself after the win.
I get a kick out of you guys. Get after somebody because you're trying to hold them accountable. I don't know what kind of business you're in, but I'll tell you what, if I was the head of a newspaper and you didn't do your job, you'd be held accountable. That's the way it is.
Mark, did Tom Izzo, in your mind, go too far?
I think he did because he had to be, I'm not going to use the word restrained, but he was held back a little bit, held down by some of the other players. You're going after him a little too hard, Coach. He went after him. I get it. Hold him accountable. Get mad. Yeah, we've got over this 75 times, and you still screwed it up. It's okay to get mad, but then you got to back off because it's just going to send a horrible message to the rest of the team, and he's got to deal with it this way.
If we're talking about a job, Tom Izzo, and you're making that comparison, don't your players have to get, like, paid for that? I mean, come on, dude. Like, you're really going to try to pull that one off on the people that are in the press conference?
You open up a whole other can there.
Well, I'm not trying to. Well, I'm just saying, you know what? Like, shut up, Tom. That's what I'm saying.
Since the beginning of time. This is coaching, too, okay? You can get on people coaching.
Yeah.
Even amateur level, right? You can get on people, but you got to be careful the way you do it.
He's got a thing with Aaron Henry, and there's a piece in The Athletic that details that a while ago when Henry was like, what is this all about? Responded saying, quote, when you say these things, what should my reaction be? What are you really saying when you say this? It seems like there's something deeper here. I don't know what it is, but I mean, shoot, they're in the midst of a good stretch when that happened, when Michigan State's coach Tom Izzo was yelling at him.
He was too upset. He lost control, in my opinion.
I thought he did,
too. That's what I didn't like.
I agree. I thought he lost control to an extent as well. And when I was watching that, I also kept thinking to myself, this would never fly in the NBA. There's no way a coach is gonna lose his mind like that. These players would laugh at that.
It's going to be the other way around.
Who's the last NBA coach that was kind of old school? I could get away with being old school.
I mean, I think they're old school.
No, I mean like a Tom Izzo. I shouldn't say old school because there's lots of old school coaches who don't like lose control.
Bill Fitch.
Yeah.
Maybe Pat Riley.
Patino when he tried his NBA stint.
Nobody's going to be like Izzo. You can't get away with that. The other question I'd have is which jobs do employees actually get held accountable in exactly that same way, where like somebody's screaming at you like that? I feel like construction can be like that sometimes.
Yeah,
I've seen a lot of shouting on construction sites before.
Oil refineries
maybe. Yeah, I feel like old-time newsrooms, or is that just in the movies, like where the editor comes in and is like, listen, McGillicuddy, that's the biggest piece of trash I've ever seen. Then he throws it on the desk.
Lou Grant. What's the guy's name in Superman? Come on, who's the editor in Superman?
The old guy with the cigar. That's what his
name
is.
Come on.
Oh, you mean in Spider-Man?
No, Superman. Well, Jimmy was the Cub reporter.
And Superman and Spider-Man both have newspapers, right?
Spider-Man.
You got to love the media. You got to love it.
In Spider-Man, the editor is a very big-time yeller. Played by, I'm terrible.
The guy who's in Whiplash. Yes.
Yeah.
It's not Nationwide.
Old Whiplash guy.
J.K. Simmons?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, J.K. Simmons. Isn't that Nationwide? Yeah. No, who is it?
Farmers.
Farmers, yeah.
That is my contribution, folks, to the show this morning.
That was pretty good.
Good pop culture reference.
Thank you. Least likely to pull out the
Thank you very much.
Name.
I'll see you Monday at 6.
So everybody knows, so you can start planning your summer schedule. This August 16th through 18th will be the 50-year commemoration of Woodstock and they're going to hold Woodstock 50. Here's the thing.
It's a pretty good lineup.
It's going to be in Watkins Glen, New York, which is a full 150 miles away from Bethel, New York, which is where the first Woodstock actually
happened. But Watkins Glen was also the site of another big festival in the day.
But then also, this NPR story doesn't mention that they did have the 25th commemorative Woodstock, which was an abject disaster because it was like there was a huge rainstorm. There were like $5 bottles of water.
It was like a fire festival. It was awful.
It was just a mess. And they don't mention it once in this article. They're acting like this is the first time somebody's tried to hijack the Woodstock name since then. Performers include Jay-Z, Dead & Company, The Killers.
Miley Cyrus.
Any original performer is going to play. Like Santana was just here at the rodeo. Santana was at Woodstock. They should be there.
Is Santana going to be there? Yes, he's going to be there. Day one, August 16th.
Good. Watkins Glen's a fun place. Natural beauty as well.
Woodstock was a total disaster. It was muddy and everything, but everybody was so medicated that it didn't really matter.
It seems like it was Fire Festival, except it was a little bit better run, so people forgot all the bad stuff.
Cloaked in political activism. We're like, what are you there for? We like peace and drugs.
They shut down the New York State Freeway. The cars were parked everywhere. It was a parking lot. They would shut it down today. They would not allow it to continue.
If it happened today, would it be covered almost as like this huge? I mean,
You'd have the helicopters.
Artists had to be airlifted out of there and everything.
I'm exaggerating. I'm exaggerating by citing the Fire Festival, but yeah, you guys are totally right. That if that happened today, there would be all sorts of stories about the things that went wrong.
Not to mention crimes that just didn't get reported back then. People would not get reported now. This is
people not being able to get water, that kind of stuff.
Boy. Yeah, let's start reframing Woodstock.
By the time Jimi Hendrix took the stage, the place was almost empty because everybody was leaving.
Oh, really?
And it was a classic performance.
I know.
I didn't know that.
That's where he did the Star Spangled Banner, the one that you always hear in legendary performance.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It was you can say it was that. It was all those limousine liberals that are like, I'm for equality. And I'm not into his music. I'm going to leave now. Yeah.
It's depressing me that I'm no longer going to Coachella, which I thought I was going to be going to in a couple of weeks. Oh, man. I'm not even going to be able to have a basic Instagram photo up there.
Paul is merely going to Yacht Week.
Yeah. I mean, we can only do so much elitist bro things. That's in Croatia.
Yacht Week in Croatia?
Yeah, we're realizing very quickly that, once again, we probably can't afford it, but whatever. As I talk to myself in the second person singular, the first person plural. Hey, guys, we talked about Tom Izzo, his approach at a press conference. Let's go to Intercontinental Terminals from the Deer Park disaster that we've been dealing with this week. Spokesperson Alice Richardson, who had a very interesting finish to her press conference yesterday morning.
TC is very sorry that this unfortunate event, this isn't an event we wanted or planned. Many of my employees work in the city of Deer Park. They live in Deer Park. They're out there fighting this fire the best they can. They are residents. I would guess that probably 30% live in Deer Park, in LaPorte. They're concerned. Their families are concerned. So, of course, ITC would apologize to any of them. Any more questions? That's it. Thank you so much.
So, basically, she cried at the very end of the press conference. And I'm wondering, guys, is this an effective strategy to get sympathy?
Mark, you're a PR expert in a way, in that you know how these industries operate.
I'll admit, I felt a little bad for her at the very end of that.
You're begging the question. Like, you're saying, is it an effective strategy for getting sympathy? Like, it's not clear that was her strategy.
Exactly. Thank you for clarifying. Okay. I'm not implying that.
But
that was the thing that came into my mind, I feel bad for her.
Would it be an effective strategy?
It doesn't make me feel much better about the situation that she was weeping during a press conference to answer questions about the situation.
One of our listeners who doesn't have a relationship with ITC, I know for a fact, so this isn't like somebody texting in who's actually from ITC, said that she actually explained how the tanks are designed and how the chemical was released when the air shifted the foam. She did a really good job. She just broke down at the very end. So I would take it as that was like a genuine, like, this woman's probably exhausted. It's been 36, however, 72 hours of this. She's just a mess by this point.
I can't believe we haven't seen a White House press secretary, at some point, break down in tears over the years, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's a lot of questions. A lot of questions that you'd be fielding.
Who was the White House press secretary in the last 50 years most likely to break down in tears?
Ari Fleischer.
Just not Ari. Not Ari.
Honestly, I'm genuinely wondering this because I want to look up videos after the show. So please text her, 713-572-4610. Worst White House press secretary of the last 50 years. Obviously, I know there are going to be nominations from the I want somebody from something that's not so politicized right now.
Buster Bluth from Veep.
Most likely to break down emotionally.
I used to think that might be the coolest PR job in the world. Now, not as much.
Not as much.
Nope.
One issue I had when I clicked into this story on KHOU's website is, I guess a reporter asked a question, quote, do you want to apologize? Which I always feel like from a media standpoint, I don't know if that's is that a question that people should be asking? Do you want to apologize?
It's like, what are you, my mom?
Yeah, that's kind of a slanted, what if I asked O'Brien, what do you want to say to the fans after this playoff game?
So many of these pool reporters do these things.
That's a better question than the one you just asked.
I think it probably is a better question.
Do you want to, or does the company want to apologize?
Are they going to issue an apology?
That's fair.
Right.
Not her.
Well,
personally.
I guess that's a tough question because I know in legal matters such as this, sometimes an apology can be
an admission of guilt.
Right? So. That's again, when you're a PR person, those are the kinds of questions you're supposed to be adept at answering.
Yeah.
So it's not a wiggle your way around those issues.
Mark, you guys have Texans All Access at 6. What do you guys have this evening?
Yeah, Johnny and I are going to talk about the draft a lot tonight. And by the way, next week I'll be at the owners' meetings. Monday and Tuesday shows will originate from Phoenix.
Excellent.
Bill O'Brien's going to be on, and Brian Gain, it'll be good.
So that'll be early next week, the NFL owners' meetings. Mark will be out there. Mark, always brought to you by Mattress Firm. We thank him for joining us in the 8 o'clock
hour. And don't forget about my golf tournament, April 8th. Still got a couple of slots left, presented by Insperity, SNH Manufacturing, Ron Carter Hyundai. Thank you, Bob Abernathy.